your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 14. The book of Exodus chapter number 14. I have three series going on. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on all three this morning. But I have the Old Testament book of Genesis going on. I have the New Testament book of Matthew. And then I have this topical series that we're coming to again this morning on night scenes of Scripture. Things that took place at night in the Word of God. For time's sake, we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. This is the famous story of the crossing of the Red Sea, the dividing of the Red Sea. Maybe you didn't realize this, but God divided that sea at night. This is a powerful story. My wife told me last night as I was sharing some of these thoughts with her that the one word that's going to be on my tombstone is the word powerful, because I say it so much, you know. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, if you mark your Bible, I want to give you a phrase in verse number 3. I know I didn't read it, but in verse number 3, we find the title of our message. It's the four words, entangled in the land. Entangled in the land. I'm preaching to you on that topic this morning, entangled in the land. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us now. May thy will be done this service. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A while ago, we began a study on the night scenes of Scripture. Today, we come to another portion of Scripture that reveals another event that took place at night, and it's the parting of the Red Sea. Now, notice in verse 21 how it said, "The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night." Now, this miraculous event took place at night. By the way, there are some people try to make you think that was the Reed Sea. In other words, the Sea of Reeds. But the interesting thing is if it was just ankle deep or knee deep water, then how in the world did it overflow the Egyptians and all their chariots and all their horses and all were dead bodies, unless they just couldn't swim worth a dime, my friends. What I'm telling you is the parting of the Red Sea is exactly what God said. It was the Red Sea that parted, and God parted it during one night. Let me just say this to you again, that the Lord is not only God of the day, but He is also the God of the night. Now, studying this passage of Scripture, the precious Lord took me to school. Let me explain what I mean. When I was in my study, the thoughts in this message seemed to be a jumbled up bowl of alphabet soup, no doubt about it. And there came a time when I told the Lord I was going to step away from this passage. I just had to get away just for a minute because it was just all jumbling up in my mind. And I asked the Lord to open my understanding and to make this jumbled up bowl of alphabet soup, if you will, to spell out what He was trying to spell out in this passage. The following day, as I came back to this portion of Scripture this week, the Lord opened it up and He showed me a major thought, and He gave me the outline that goes right along with it. Now, notice in verse number 1 how the Lord told Moses and following in verses 1 and verse number 2. Notice that He told Moses to turn and encamp before Pehaheroth between Migdol and the sea. Now, in this command of the Lord, we find our key thought today coming to light. It's been brought out that when the Lord sent the Israelites to this particular place, He was sending them to a place where they would be trapped. See, the Red Sea was now in front of them. And when He sent them to this place of Pehaheroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Ziphon, and told them, "Before this place you shall encamp by the sea." When He did that, the Red Sea was in front of them. There were walls of stone that they could not climb on each side. And along with this, Pharaoh and the Egyptians that we'll see here in just a moment decided that they wanted to chase them down and bring them back into captivity. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, let's just read right here. Look at verse number 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. And the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pahaheroth before Baal Zephon. You say, Jody, what are you trying to say? Stay with me now. I'm trying to get there. It's going to take me just a minute. The Bible says that whenever God told Moses, he said, tell the Israelites to turn and go to Pahaheroth before Migdol and encamp at Baal Zephon by the sea. And he said, when you go there, the Egyptians and Pharaoh are going to change their mind and they're going to come after you and they're going to pursue after you. But I'm allowing this to happen, because I'm going to get glory for my name. Now stay with me here. The word pursued, where it says the Egyptians pursued them, that word means to hunt them. And it carries the idea of running after somebody, usually for hostile intent. In other words, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians weren't coming to have a picnic with Israel. They were coming to take them down and take them back into bondage. As a matter of fact, as a result of this present position, the Israelites were in the place where they became afraid. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. In other words, here they are. They've been delivered out of Egyptian bondage after 430 years of bondage. They are on their way to the promised land. And God knows Pharaoh's heart. God knows Pharaoh's going to get up and come after him. So he says, Moses, I've got a plan for the Israelites. Tell them to turn and go to Pahaheroth, where Migdol is, and Baal Zephon, and encamp by the sea. And now the Red Sea's in front of them, and walls that they cannot climb beside of them. And they look behind them, and here comes their past. Here comes the enemy, and he's closing the door from behind. God is enclosing the Israelites. He's putting them in a place of seeming impossibility. The bottom line is they were pinned in, and they were surrounded with their past breathing down their neck. This was a place of seeming entrapment. And even Pharaoh thought that they were entangled in the land. They had come face to face with impossibility. And the Lord had put them in a place where only He could step in and deliver them. There was absolutely no way out but God Himself. If the Lord did not intervene, it was over. And if the Lord did not step in, they would go back into Egyptian bondage. Question, have you ever been there? Question, are you there today? There's no doubt somewhere in this crowd is one who is pinned in. I mean, your circumstances, it might be a family sickness or a personal sickness or financial problems or something else. Do you feel like the world is closing in around you and in front of you? There's the sea beside you. There's walls that's too high to get over. And behind you, here it's attacking you. It's coming after you. Are you there today? Are you in a place where there's no escape but God? There's one here who is face to face with seeming impossibility. There's one here who's afraid and who is doubting and questioning because of a present condition. Notice these Israelites in verses 10 to 12, I've already read it. But when they found themselves surrounded and they saw the Egyptians coming after them. No doubt they wanted to get somewhere, but they were trapped. There was nowhere to go. It was impossible for them to escape. And no doubt they wanted to run away. But instead of being able to run away, they just got afraid. They began to be fearful. They began to get nervous and frightened. And the fact of the matter is, they began to doubt God. You can see it in verse number 11. They began to question God. They began to say, Moses, were there not enough graves in Egypt? Is this why you brought us to the wilderness? Because they didn't have enough land to bury us in the land of Egypt? Is this why you delivered us? Would to God that we'd stayed in Egypt, for our life would be better now than it is right now in this current circumstance. Maybe you've never been there, but I dare say you've either been there, you are there, or you're going there. When you find yourself in a place where you cannot get out, when you find yourself in a place where you are pinned in and there's nowhere for you to go, when you find yourself in a situation where it, humanly speaking, is impossible, there's some guidance in this chapter that makes a child of God get ready to get up and get with it, my friends. What do you need to keep in mind when you're before Pihahiroth, when you are between Migdol and the sea? There are some things to help. Let us look at these things when we're seemingly entangled in the land, when we're entrapped in the land, when there's nowhere to go, no escape. You wake up in the morning, you can't get away from it. During the day, right there it is, at night before you go to bed, you just can't escape from it. What are you going to do? Is there help during a time like that? And I say, yes, there's help during a time like that. And there's some things that I want you to see. First of all, when you're entangled in the land, when you are encamped before Pihahiroth and Migdol and the sea and the past is coming in around you, what do you do? Number one, there's a principle to see. There's a principle to see. Look at verse number 13 and notice this. Moses said unto the people, now notice, they are now entangled. They look to the right, their left. There's no way that they can climb high enough to get over those things. They look in front of them, it's the Red Sea. I mean, if they go forward, they're going to drown. They go up, they're going to die. They look around, here comes the Egyptians. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Notice it, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The key words I want you to notice, I'm trying to give you a principle here. It comes out in the Word of God. There's a principle. Hey, when you find yourself entrapped, you find yourself you can't get out, you find yourself, I mean, it's breathing down your neck, you're afraid, you're doubting, you're questioning, you're scared, there's a principle to see at that time. And the principle, notice these two words, stand still. But let's go on. Look at verse number 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speaking of the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now I want you to take a pen, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, and underline those words, stand still. Then go over and mark the words, go forward. Moses said, stand still. God said, go forward. And I want you to connect those two. Are you listening to me? It seems like a contradiction. It seems like Moses saying one thing, God saying another. You listening to me? It's a great principle here. Great principle. The principle, listen to me. When the Israelites saw the Egyptians marching after them with no place to go, they were afraid, they were doubting, they were questioning. It's interesting that Moses says stand still and a few verses later God said go forward. It seems as if these two commands don't go together, my friends. However, in this we see a powerful principle. And that principle is this. Was God going to send them forward? Yes or no? Yes. He told them go forward. But there would be no going forward without first standing still. Stay with me. The Lord was getting ready to test their faith. He was going to build it in a mighty way. But before the command to go forward, first came the command to stand still. In verse number 14, Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." They were to stand still and wait on God. And then they were ready to follow His command. As they were to stand still and hold their peace, Moses was saying, "Don't move. Let's let God make the next move. Let's just stand still, hold our peace, wait on God." And I'm telling you something, folks. They would never have gone forward without first taking time to stand still. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, I don't want you to turn to it, just wait on me here. But in Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." My friends, when you find yourself surrounded with no seeming way of escape, stand still. Wait on God. Moses says, "God will show us what to do. God will tell us what the way of escape is. But right now, the only word is stand still. Hold your peace. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything," is what I'm saying. Stand still and let God move. Have you heard that song? You heard a little chorus that says, "Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move." You don't know what to do? There's a principle to see. You're entrapped. You can't get out. You wish you could escape, but you can't get out anywhere. You're entangled in the land. You're entrapped. You can't get away. There's a principle to see. First stand still. Spend time with God. And then we'll come. Go forward. God wants you to go forward, but He's got to strengthen you first. So you have to stand still before you can go forward. I'm telling you, when you find yourself surrounded with no seeming way of escape, stand still and know He is God and that He will guide you through any way He sees fit. Number two, when you're entangled in the land, not only a principle to see, but number two, a promise to encourage. We see this in verse number 14 and following. "The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace." Look at verse 16. "But lift thou up thy rod," this is God speaking, "and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." What did God do when they found themselves entangled in the land? What did God do when they found themselves surrounded with no way of escape? You know what He did? He gave them a promise. In these verses, we see the Lord giving His people a promise to encourage their troubled hearts. He made the promise, "The Lord shall fight for you." Along with this, the Lord told Moses, "I'm going to divide the sea." That's a promise. "I'm going to divide it. And when I divide it, I'm going to let the Israelites go over on dry ground. And then he promised, he said, I will get honor on Pharaoh. I will take care of your past. I will take care of your enemy. And I will drown them in the midst of the sea. See, in this seeming impossibility, God gave him a promise of victory. No wonder Moses said in verse number 15, and no wonder he told him, the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. These were certainly precious promises to encourage the Israelites during their time of fear, during their time of doubt and questioning. You know what encourages me? These Israelites didn't have strong faith here, friends. They had faith going through the Red Sea. We'll see that in a minute. But right now, they're afraid. They're questioning. They're doubting. They can't believe God allowed this in my life. What's he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's seeking honor for himself. That's what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And I'm telling you that in this time of fear and in this time of doubt and questioning, God stepped in and said, let me give you my word on some things. Let me give you a promise that you can hold on to. And in the same way, when you find yourself in a place of seeming entanglement in the land, go to the precious word of God and allow God to speak to you through the promises of his precious word. These promises can be a real strength, help, encouragement during these scary times of life. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a hymn that talks about standing on the promises of Christ my King. And I'm telling you that one thing God does when you find yourself in this place of entanglement, one thing God does when you find yourself surrounded and the enemy breathing down your neck, one thing he does, he not only gives you a principle to see, just stand still and then go forward. He gives you a promise to encourage your heart. He speaks to you. Why do people go away from God's word during times of trouble? Why do people not go to God? I'm telling you, when our baby girl, Jalen, she's doing great, and she's beautiful today. Hallelujah. What a girl. But when her head we thought was a little bit too big, 95 percentile, I'm convinced now it's just the brain power, you know, of having the Jenkins name. But you've heard this story before. When the nurse told us, worst case scenario, it could be brain damage. That was a time of entanglement. That was a time I'm talking about when you find yourself in a place where you wish you could just escape and get out. But you can't find escape. It's there whether you like it or not, in other words. At that time, God gave me Psalm 46. I just read it where it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. That right early. I know he's talking about the nation of Israel there, but are you listening to me? God gave me a promise in that verse. In my time of entanglement in the land, God spoke to me in the promises of his word. If you find yourself before Pehahiroth today, Migdol and the sea and Beelzebub, you know what you need to do? Get along with God, be still, and let his promises flood your heart and soul. Amen. There's a third thing, and that is not only a principle to see, a promise to encourage, but there's a presence to guard. Look at verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. There's a powerful thought here, friends. I know I said it. I think that's the third time I've said powerful. Anyway, that's the fourth time because I just said powerful. That was the fifth time. The point is this, the Lord was traveling with the Israelites. He was there the whole time. His presence was represented in this cloud that guided them by day and the pillar of fire by night. That was the presence of God with them. And God was looking at all of this. And God said, I want you to go to the sea. Pehahiroth, Beelzebub, Migdol in camp right there. Did God know the Egyptians were coming? Sure he did. And he let him come so far, but no further. Because the Bible says there came a day when the Egyptians were coming after them, that the presence of God went from before them and went behind them, in between them and the Egyptians now. And he turned the lights out on the Egyptians. But he gave light to all the Israelites. And the point here is this. God knew that they were in a place of fear and danger and doubt and questioning. So what he did, he gave them his presence to guard them in it. I'm telling you that he allowed the Egyptians to come so far, but no farther. Now, in the same way, all of God's children can take comfort in the fact that when you find yourself entangled in the land, and you find yourself before Pehaharoth, Migdol, Beelzephon, and the sea, when you find yourself in a place where you wish you could get out, but there's no escape, take comfort. As Psalm 46:1 says, he's a very present help in trouble. Take comfort in Hebrews 13:5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And take comfort, he is there to guard against the attacks of the enemy, and he will not allow the enemy to come as far as he wants to come. He only allows the enemy to come as far as he allows him to come. That's the story of Job. Whenever the devil says, does God, look here, does Job fear God for naught? You start touching his things and he'll curse you to your face, God. And God said, okay, everything's in your hands, but don't you touch him. It's a great mystery of the Bible. I don't understand it. But we can take comfort in this, that if something hits us, it had to pass through the hand of God first, friends. I'm not saying it's pleasing to God. I'm not saying that it's God's will, because if everything comes, some of it comes by sin, correct or not? Is God pleased with sin? No. But I'm telling you that we need to take comfort that we are never left, we are never forsaken. And no matter what our current situation is, God's presence is still with his child. And with God comes protection. You'll make it if that's what he wants. Amen. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Entangled in the land, there's a principle to see. Stand still in order to go forward. There's a promise to encourage. There's a presence to guard. Number four, there's a power to save. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but you find this in verses 21 down to verse number 30. Let me just paraphrase what's going on. These verses tell us that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea just like God told him to. And when he did, the Lord caused the sea that night to divide. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. Now remember that the presence of God gave them light. God always gives his children enough light to go forward. And God's presence was giving them light. And we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, that the Israelites passed through the waters. Notice it, Hebrews 11, 29, you can see it later. By faith they went through the sea. By faith. And the Bible says in these verses 21 to 30 that the water was a wall unto them on their right side and on their left. The Bible goes on to say that the Egyptians pursued, but the Lord looked at them. The Bible says that as the Egyptians were pursuing them in the midst of the sea, it says the Lord looked at them. And you know what he did? He took the chariot wheels off. You can read it yourself. As the chariots were going, all of a sudden all their wheels just popped off. And they began to drive it. Oh, we're not going. And it's interesting that at that time, verse 25, I believe it is, the Israelites said, the Lord is fighting for them. Notice the name they use. All capital letters. In other words, they're saying the God that Moses has been telling us about all the time. The God that Pharaoh said, I don't know your God. I don't even know who he is. Who is he that I should bow down to him? This Lord Jehovah, the God, the same one that Moses said in verse 14, hold your peace, the Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah God, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, he's the one that's going to fight for you. Whenever their wheels popped off, the Egyptians said, wait a minute, this is Jehovah God working. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. God's revealing himself to these Egyptians. And then once the Israelites got out of the sea, the Lord told Moses, because the Egyptians were down there trying to drag their chariots, they had no wheels. And God said, Moses, hold out your hand over the sea that the water can come in among them. And Moses obeyed, and the water returned to his strength. The Bible says the Egyptians fled from it, but the Lord overthrew them in the midst of the sea, insomuch that the Bible tells us there remained not so much as one of them. Not so much as one was left. That's found in verse number 28, the latter phrase. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and the Israelites saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, verse number 30. Their enemy, their past, was now dead. God had saved them. What mighty power God showed that day. And my friends, in the same way, our God has power to save out of any circumstance or situation today that he so desires. It doesn't matter what the diagnosis is. It doesn't matter what the condition or position is. Going forward was probably the last thing the Israelites thought about, but they were to find out when they went forward that God's strength was made perfect in their weakness. Let us by faith trust him to divide the sea of our impossibility. I'm not saying that if you have a problem, take it to God, he's going to wipe it out. But I'm telling you, if you have a problem, take it to God, and he wants to, he can wipe it out. But if he does not wipe it out, are you listening to me? His presence is still there to guard, and his promises are still there to encourage, and he will see his children through one way or another. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is the mighty Apostle the Apostle Paul, Paul has some kind of a thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Matter of fact, he calls it the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He recognized that what it was coming from the devil, and that word buffet basically means it was beating the daylights out of him. Paul's saying whatever that thorn was, people speculate what it was, but nobody knows. I like it that nobody knows. Let me tell you why. Because nobody knows. If we did know what it was, then we would think if our condition was worse than him, then that was for Paul, but not for me. God didn't let him tell us what his thorn was. Because that thorn can represent anything now. You see what I'm saying? What's your thorn? What's the messenger of Satan that's beating the daylights out of you? What is it that's just coming up and slamming you up against the head? Pow, pow, pow. Paul said, I had this thorn in my flesh, and I begged God, I besought him, I begged God three times, take it away, take it away, take it away. God said, my grace is sufficient for you, boy. And he said, I'm not going to take it away, because I want you to find out something. I want you to find out my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What was Paul's attitude? I thought God said he loved me. Why is he not going to answer my prayers? Why, I can't believe I'll never serve him again. He didn't take it out. No, you know what Paul's attitude was? You mean God's trying to tell me something about himself? You mean God's trying to reveal something about himself to make me know him a little bit better and show me his strength? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be glad that I'm going through this now, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's a power to save. And number five, there's a product to notice. Verse number 31. What happened when everything was said and done? What happened when after they found themselves in this place and they got afraid and they were scared and they were skeptical and they were doubting and questioning? What happened? God gave them a principle to see. God said, I want you to go forward, but not first. I first want you to stand still and learn a little bit more about me. Consider who I am. And oh, by the way, I'm going to give you some promises, and I always keep my promises. I'm going to fight for you. That's a promise. I'm going to divide the sea. That's a promise. I'm going to let you walk on dry ground. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't saturated. It was completely dry. They were kicking up dust as they were walking through it. Because that's what the Bible says. And he said, oh, this enemy that you're afraid of right now, don't worry about it. You're not going to see him again anymore forever. I'm going to drown them. That's my promise. And, oh, by the way, while we're waiting on me to divide the sea, I just want to show you something else about me. I want to put my presence behind you, in between you and them, and they think they're going to come tonight to get you. No, they're not. I'm going to protect you tonight. Oh, and just in case you're wondering, let me just show you how this works. Moses, hold out. Hold out your arm. Okay? All night long. You say, Jody, what's the point? The point is, God is revealing himself to his children, friends. He's showing them, even in times of impossibility, I can still work. And at the end of all of this, look what happened in verse number 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. You listening to me? If God had not allowed them to go to that place, God would not have gotten the glory that he got from his children here. See, the Lord put them in a place where only he could deliver them. And when he delivered them, there was no question. When they saw what the Lord did, that's what the Bible says. And now notice this, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord, his servant Moses. Now at the end of this story, we see the Israelites saw the great work that God had done. And as a result of what they saw, they feared the Lord and believed him. Now there's no doubt in my mind that this is what this story is all about. The fear that the pursuing enemy once had when you started out, the Lord now has from his people. The Lord was working in this story to bring glory to himself. In verse number 4, I will get honor. Verse 17 and verse 18, he said, I'm going to get honor in this. I will be honored in this. And he got it from both the enemy and his people. May I tell you this, our God desires and deserves to be feared and glorified. And many times he is praised more when he delivers from a seeming impossibility than any other time in life. Therefore, whatever you're going through, the Lord can use it to bring glory to himself. The Israelites knew there was no way outside of their God. They knew that outside their God, they would never have made it through this particular circumstance. And in the same way, our God brings us through so many things to bring glory and honor to himself. Now, I'm just about done. Now, you know that's the preacher's famous lie, don't you? But in this story, we see the Lord building the faith of his people. As a matter of fact, we see him sending them to Pahaharoth. This was a seeming place of entrapment. This was a place of seeming impossibility. This was a place of seeming destruction. Are you with me? Sunday school class, told you I was going to do this. Here it comes. You ready? We see that God told him at the beginning of this story, go to Pahaharoth. You know what that name means? A place of freedom. Stay with me. Interesting, isn't it? That the place that the Israelites thought would be bondage and possible death ended up being the place God used to set them free. Where are you right now? Do you feel the world crashing in around you? Do you feel like it's over? Do you feel entangled in the land? Do you feel there's no way out? Take this advice. The place that you think is going to take you down could be the very place God is using to set you free. Somebody said, God knows the outcome. We don't know the outcome, but isn't it enough that we know Him? God knows what the future holds. God knows what the outcome is. And in life, every now and then, we find ourselves, here we go. I'm talking about a place that you wouldn't choose for yourself. Right there's the Red Sea. Look over here. There's a mountain. There's a mountain. Can't get over it. And by the time you turn around to get out of there, there comes the evil. There comes the enemy. There he comes. He's closing the door. There's no way of escape. At that time, God says, that's the place of freedom for my kids. How can that be? It can only be because God is in the equation. And what is a seeming impossibility to man, God can use it to set His children free. What is it God is using in your life? Pharaoh's a picture of the devil. The devil thought he was going to get the victory. Pharaoh looked at him and said, they're entangled in the land. Our title, that's Pharaoh speaking. Pharaoh, God said, Pharaoh's going to say, they're entangled in the land. And the devil sits back and laughs at people who have troubles and trials and tribulations and says, oh, I got them now. I got them now. Look at that. They don't know what to do. They're worried. They're afraid. They're doubting. They're questioning. Yeah, doubt him. Question him. All this. And the whole time, God is working. God is moving. And there's coming a time when God says, stand still, son. Stand still, daughter. I'm going to have you go forward. I'm going to give you promises to help you in it. I'm going to protect you while you're going through it. I have the power to do it. And at the end of it, what Pharaoh thought was going to glorify him and what you thought was going to sink you is going to lift me up and praise me and glorify me because of my mighty miracle that I've performed in your life. When did this happen? At night. Don't you tell me God doesn't work in the night. And I'm challenging you today. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. Now, what is it God is speaking to you about? Are you entangled in the land? If you're a child of God, everything looks okay on the other side. We just need to trust Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You today. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Help us to learn this lesson, to believe it. Thank You that this event took place at night. The very time that the devil himself tries to work the night hours. May the will of God be done. Father, take it and use it in a great way. Help people to respond. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. What is the Lord speaking to you about? Are you in the family of God? If you're not in His family, He wants to bury your past right now. See, when somebody trusts Christ as their Savior, their past, their present, their future, it's all forgiven. There might be somebody here today say, I can't be saved. I've been too bad. Are you listening to me? The Egyptians are a picture of your past. And just like God buried their past in the sea, The Bible says that He throws our sins into the depths of the deepest sea, and He buries them. If you're not saved today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel and show you how you can be saved. Man with a man, lady with a lady, a couple with a couple, whatever it is, don't say no to Jesus. Trust the Lord today. Would you do it? Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I'm at Pahaeroth. I'm before Migdol and Beelzebub. The sea's in front of me. The mountains are beside me. Oh, and the enemy's chasing me from behind. I feel entrapped. I feel that I'm in a place that I would never choose myself. And I can't get out. There's no escape. That's where I'm at. Have you be honest? God's speaking to you. Would you raise your hand in the air? Be honest. You say, that's me, Jody. I'm in that place. I'm in that place. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. If you're there, hold on to the promises of God. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Let's all stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way. Help those who are lost to come. Help those who are found in the place of Pahaeroth, Migdol, Beelzebub, and the sea. Help them to come. Give it to Thee. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Mike's going to begin to sing. As he sings, if God is speaking to you, if you need Jesus as your Savior, come. If you want to come, talk to God and say, God, I'm there. Would you get me out? Would you deliver me? Help me to stand still that I can go forward. May the will of God be done. As he sings, you come on. Come on, folks. Would you do it? Here he goes.
Be still, my soul. The
come
Lord
talk to God.
On thy side.
Find yourself. Pahaeroth, Migdol, Beelzebub. Seas in front, the enemies behind. God wants to help you. God wants to help you. May the Lord help you.
He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. The best thy heavenly friend through thorny ways leads to a joyful end.
They're playing through softly. If you're standing, you can look this way. God is working. I understand that God works on people's hearts even when they don't come to the altar. I'm so glad that when we stare face to face with an impossibility, that our God is not bound by human impossibilities. Our God can part the sea. He can make the ground dry. And I promise you, if you don't need this message, you better hold on to it, friends. You better hold on to it. This life is filled with places of Pahaeroth. Migdol is everywhere, Beelzebub, the Red Sea, and there's enemies chasing us and breathing down our necks. That enemy could be doubt, it could be fear, it could be disbelief, whatever it is, just coming on. The devil gets back and starts laughing and saying, kid, be afraid, be afraid. And the whole time, God is saying, just be still, just hold on. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. And there's coming a day I'm going to take you forward. And when I do, that enemy, you'll never see him again. I'll take him down. And when it's all over and all said and done, the fear that you had towards that is now going to be given to me. My name will be high and holy. And lift it up. And the very place that you thought was going to take you down, you will look back and see that was the place I used to set you free. That is powerful, friends. That is powerful. And in my study, it was a jumbled up mess. And I paused and said, God, show me what you're telling me. And the next day he said, you asked for it. Here it comes, boy. Right here it is. You got people in your church who feel they can't go on and they're entrapped and they don't know what to do. God saying, I did it at night. I parted the Red Sea when it was black. But for my children, even though it was dark everywhere else, my presence made it as bright as the sun for them. And I took them through. Glory. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that first verse over again. Nobody else comes. This is it. This is over. By the way, aren't you glad God feels welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? I feel His presence again this morning. Glory. Praise God. I'm telling you, when I feel God, I start crying. I'm telling you. I feel Him again today. There is no impossibility with God. With God, all things are possible. What's the Bible say? Unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen to Brother Mike sing this. Powerful song, Brother Mike. Sing it. Nobody else comes. This is it. Listen to it.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God.
Amen.
To order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through stormy ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who rule them while he dwell below.
We're playing through softly. This is the Carrick family. If all of you want to stand there just a moment. Miss Charlotte, you can stand with them if you don't mind. Precious family, been visiting the church for quite a while. And they're coming today. They want to join the church by letter from a church of like faith. We're glad you're here. Boy, I tell you, I'm sitting here rejoicing. If the presence of God feels like this on earth, what must it be when we see Him face to face? Glory. And I'll tell you what I try to tell everybody that I can remember. God doesn't want you to join this church and do nothing. He wants you to help us reach people. What's the pleasure of the church that we, all of them have been saved. We've had the privilege of visiting in their home with them. They've all been saved. They've all been scripturally immersed and baptized. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive them by letter of a church of like faith? Brother Steve, Brother Pollard, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry, it's official. You can't get out. It's over. You're now entangled in Buffalo Ridge. Let's pray together. And I just want you to keep playing. What a great song. And I hope many of you will come by and shake their hand. Let them know you're glad they're here. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30, 5:30 financial seminar. Father bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hope many of you will come here, shake their hands. If you are a visitor, please take it out through the breezeway. We've got a special gift for you right there.